This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm Dave Kattenberg, and this is 12 Canadians Building a Better World from the Inside Out.
Southwest New Brunswick is the cradle of salmon aquaculture in Canada.
A farm that's producing about 500 tons of fish is producing 100 tons of waste, and that is being released into the environment untreated.
The current generation that is living in coastal communities and gaining their livelihood from the water have no idea of what's been lost.
I don't know the Passamaquoddy Bay that people knew 30 years ago. I know that there's been changes. My name is Matthew Abbott. I go by Matt. So we're we're 10 years old now. We're the marine program of the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, and we do environmental advocacy and watchdog work here on the Bay of Fundy. Our on-the-water work is on the Outer Bay of Fundy and Passamaquoddy Bay in the Western Isles, one of the most biologically productive regions, sometimes called the cafeteria of Fundy, because there's so much sea life here.
So this is your office.
This is my very messy office. I'm glad you're doing radio. So a sense of where we're going today, I think we might, time-depending, tide-depending, we'll do this. We'll go out Little Latite Passage, and then we'll enter Head Harbor Passage in between Campobello Island and Deer Island, and we may sneak out a bit towards Head Harbor Light, because you can often see it's nice to take a minute to enjoy the whales and other wildlife that are here when we're out checking things out, and then we'll come back around the Deer Island Point through Western Passage, which is just across the water from Sepayuk, Pleasant Point, and Eastport, Maine, and then back over to St. Andrews through Passamaquoddy Bay. So that's the plan for today.
And what worries you folks the most is salmon aquaculture.
I'd say that's a major concern in this region. We've seen we've definitely seen things like illegal pesticide use lobster killed, lobster in traps and being held in crates in the water, killed by illegal pesticides. There's also, you know, there's issues with potential impact on wild salmon, and just the density of it is pretty alarming. This region, we sometimes call the Quaddy region, Passamaquoddy Bay and the Western Isles, is really the most biologically productive region of the Bay of Fundy. All these islands I've just been talking that we'll be going around and through, and a lot of the sort of underwater dynamic create rich upwellings of the cool, rich waters coming in from the North Atlantic. And we just have lots of production of phytoplankton, zooplankton. Herring come here to eat, whales come here to eat. We have alewives or gaspereau passing through. So it's just a really dynamic, productive region, and it's also the region where there's the real dense salmon farming. So that's been the focus of our work, but one thing we're really excited about for this region is working with up to 40 other organizations in Canada and U.S. We've just seen alewives or gaspereau runs restored on the St. Croix River, which is running right beside us here in St. Andrews. We're basically at the mouth of the river where it lands in Passamaquoddy Bay. The St. Croix has the potential to be the largest run of alewives on the East Coast, sort of basically Florida to Newfoundland. They're a fish that everything eats because they're really nutritious, from eagles to whales to us. So we're really excited to see the restoration of the St. Croix beginning.
So tell me about this boat.
This is the Fundy Baykeeper, and we use it to patrol Passamaquoddy Bay in the Western Islands around Deer Island and Campobello and a bit further afield on fine days. And we use it in our regular patrolling activities. So we're surveying different parts of coast to see if there's any major debris sites, any shoreline developments occurring that haven't been reported or aren't known about that would concern us. We also use it a very important part of our work involves popping into wharves in the region, talking to people, seeing what they're thinking, learning what's going on. So we use it to get around by sea, and we run it up to 6 months of the year. And so it's just, it's an important part of our sort of the information gathering that allows us to do our advocacy work. So I think I'm going to hop off and untie the bow line, and then I'll get you, David, to untie the stern from inside the boat when we're ready to roll.
I'm Janice Harvey. I live in Wawig, New Brunswick, in Charlotte County, close to the Bay of Fundy. The fishing industry there is a shadow of its former self. And you would think that if it's going to be good anywhere, it would be good there. There have been material losses of productivity in these coastal waters in the Gulf of Maine as a result of climate change. Changes in the nature of the planktonic species, and as a result of the impacts of climate change. These things were just, you know, this is in train now, but they were unimaginable. And people, it's just really, it's kind of too late for doing anything about this now. And, you know, even the mighty Bay of Fundy is going to be affected and has been. The current generation that is living in coastal communities and gaining their livelihood from the water have no idea of what's been lost.
There used to be a commercial fishery for Atlantic salmon in the Bay of Fundy. It's gone. It's not going to come back. I'm Inka Milewski, and I'm the science advisor for the Conservation Council of New Brunswick. My colleague, Heike Lotz, who is a professor in the Department of Biology at Dalhousie University, and I did a study in 2002. We looked at ecosystem changes in the Outer Bay of Fundy, the Passamaquoddy Bay area. And we fundamentally found that there have been changes in species composition and abundance. A lot of the top predators have been eliminated. The whales, the top predators such as the whales and dolphins and some of the larger fishes. Herring, which used to be incredibly abundant, their abundance has dropped radically. Haddock, cod have been lost. These shifts in species composition is, in a sense, we are fishing our way down the food chain. And people are quite pleased with the abundance of lobsters that are being reported and being caught in the Bay of Fundy. But that's largely because their top predator, which was the cod, disappeared. We are also seeing the rise of open net pen salmon aquaculture. And we are seeing that the impacts from open net pen salmon farms is the displacement of scallop habitat or the destruction of scallop habitat, the displacement of important habitat for lobster. There is nutrients that are produced that are causing increases in certain kinds of algal blooms. So this is having a negative impact on the overall ecosystem as well.
Yeah, for a region like ours where we still have robust fisheries, we still have a lot going on, there's been a lot of changes, and there's always that reason to worry that you're on the knife edge and don't know it. Just as I sail by here, that's a really neat beach on Pendleton Island.
you can't really see, you can't see beyond the top of the beach, obviously, but it sinks down into a pool, and on big tides, that fills with water, and everyone goes to swim in that pool behind the beach. It also tends to collect. Things just sort of circle around and land, so debris. We did a cleanup there last year with Nature Conservancy of Canada. We filled this boat and the rowboat we're pulling to my chest level with garbage 5 times and took it to a dumpster off one beach. And we expect to do the same next Saturday at another island nature preserve on Simpson Island. It's nice to cruise into a harbor and know a lot of the people the boats are named after. You know, my favorite boat name around here is, there's a boat called the Wife and Kids. Simple.
So where are we coming in here?
We're coming into Stewarttown, Deer Island. And we're just, we're coming in to see what's going on the wharf, and we're gonna stop for lunch as well. So, yeah. So my name's Matt Abbott, and I'm in the fortunate position of being the Fundy Baykeeper for the Conservation Council of New Brunswick. I say it's particularly easy to be aware of how fortunate my position is while we bob on the water and eat a can of sardines. And the Fundy Baykeeper, we're a member of the International Waterkeeper Alliance. And what waterkeepers do, there's 200 of us, is we have individuals who are identified as someone who endeavors to protect the given water body. Typically the water body they live on, a place they love, and they work full-time to identify issues that are facing that water body and to seek to have them addressed. Sometimes that's through legal means, sometimes that's through public education campaigns. One thing that's very important for waterkeepers and very critical to our work here on the Bay of Fundy is that we maintain an on-the-water patrol. Getting out and about and patrolling and seeing what's going on is really critical to us being able to address the issues, because we receive public reports, and that's an important part of it, but we do just need to go and see what's up. So that's what we're doing today. So I've just rolled out the marine chart. I'm going to use another one that gives us sort of a zoomed-in view, but I'll just show you where we've gone today. This is Outer Bay of Fundy. So we went through Passamaquoddy Bay. We came out of St. Andrews Harbor through Passamaquoddy Bay, out Little Lateet Passage, and now we're going around Deer Island. So these are all Bay of Fundy waters. These are the dramatic tides. We don't have the tides like they do further up the bay. The bay is basically, the Gulf of Maine's a big bowl, and the Bay of Fundy's a funnel sitting on top of it, is a way to think of it. And so the further up the bay you go, the higher the tides. And so we have up to 26 feet tides here, which are big, but not as big as the sort of 30s and up into the 40s.
Up somehow. In the Minas Basin.
Yeah, exactly. So these are big tides, and certainly something you want to be aware of when you're driving a boat. Okay. So I'm going to start us up, and we're going to get back on the bay here, I think. And what I'll do is, if again you could just hold on to the side so you don't drift away from me, I'll untie us.
I'm Inka Milevsky, and I'm the science advisor for the Conservation Council of New Brunswick. Southwest New Brunswick is the cradle of salmon aquaculture in Canada. This is where it essentially all got started back in the, I'd say, mid-70s. These are pens in the water, large pens that have nets underneath them, and small salmon are put into these pens, and they're fed and grown out to a market size and harvested and sold. When they first began, the first farm had 30,000 fish in it. Now the farms, the most recent farm, which is going in Nova Scotia next to Shelburne Harbor, which is an area where I'm doing some studies, and that farm is licensed to produce 1 million fish. 1 million fish being raised in these net pens, these floating net pens open to the environment,
And these fish produce a lot of fecal waste and dissolved nutrient waste, tons and tons and hundreds of tons.
There are antifoulants such as copper that are leaching from the nets, as well as copper in the feed. There's antibiotics, and if there's a pest outbreak, there are pesticides that are used on the farm, and these are all going into the environment untreated.
We're just sailing past a salmon farm on Fish Island. There was sort of a mess of tubing coming out of. We're looking at what looks like a garage, right? And it's floating on the water. And last time I was able to have a look at this site, there was just a mess of debris hanging off it that was liable to break away. And I'm happy to see that that's been removed.
So there's an informational plaque board up on the wharf that St. Andrews put up by the Salmon Aquaculture Association, and it says there are no problems with salmon aquaculture. It's all positive.
Well, what I find interesting is that there's certainly, even many of the academics and others who are supportive of the industry admit that there are issues, and I've certainly taken issue with the ACFA, Atlantic Canada Fish Farmers Association, for essentially denying that there are any issues. There have been times they've been on the record really strongly downplaying the potential risk of pesticides to sea life like lobsters. And of course, lobsters aren't the only sea life we should be concerned about, but they are commercially important. For me, the key issues are that you can't... These are nets hanging in the water. So you can't keep things in, you can't keep things out. We should acknowledge that there have been significant improvements in feed efficiency. So there's not as much waste going to the bottom as there once were. But if you've got 500,000 fish in a little bay, or even more than a million in some areas, you know, even a little bit of waste and feces and excess feed can add up quite quickly. Also, disease and parasites can get in and out, and once disease gets in, and parasites, they amplify in numbers, and then they can get back out to the wild fish. You know, I'd say those are the heart of the concerns. And the other thing that they can't always keep in are the salmon themselves. There are escapes, and here in the Bay of Fundy, they're farming a domesticated version of a native fish. So it's St. John River strain fish that's being farmed here, different than BC, and they're fish that can and do interbreed with wild salmon. It's been shown in at least one river, the Macadavick River, by the Atlantic Salmon Federation. And so those fish getting out can further harm very sensitive wild salmon populations. The heart of my work for the last few years has been around trying to counter the use of pesticides on salmon farms.
Pesticides? Why do they use pesticides?
Pesticides are used to kill sea lice, a small naturally occurring parasite. It's a crustacean, and they feed on the mucus and flesh and tissues of salmon. They're naturally occurring. Crustaceans are susceptible to the same things insects are. I mean, they're related, right? So pesticides that are used on land are also used in the ocean. We've had approvals from Health Canada for some extremely toxic pesticides, the most dramatic one being deltamethrin, which can kill adult lobster at the parts per trillion level. And that's almost such a low concentration, it's hard to imagine. But we've had other chemicals like Samulsan and other things approved. And I mean, the base of the food chain here is crustacean, right? The whales, the herring, the mackerel, many of the fish, some birds are here to eat krill, copepods, other crustaceans, zooplankton. And so it's very concerning if we see continued use of these very toxic pesticides in such a biologically productive region of the Bay of Fundy Gulf of Maine system that is... that has crustaceans at the base of the food chain. Yeah, we're just picking up some trash along the way. We always try to. And plastics, including styrofoam and stuff, just they, and for all intents and purposes, never break down. So, and the smaller they get, the more they look like food to smaller things. So, it's just sort of one of the recurring problems here. And here we have had a lot of our debris issues. The large stuff has been from the aquaculture. Basically, if you look at the map showing where all the sites is, it's dense. Everywhere you can imagine there being a farm, there essentially is one. They're typically in sheltered inshore areas. There's some out in deeper water, but they're usually in areas that are somewhat protected. Right here we have this particular site was the site of illegal pesticide use in 2009, and cypermethrin was used to kill sea lice, and it subsequently killed lobster that fishermen were holding in crates here to be sold. So if you imagine that there's 90 sites and that there, if it can take a couple days to treat all the cages on a site with pesticides and say there's a sea lice problem in the whole region, then you can imagine pulses of pesticides being released into the bay over a several month period, where there could be one region or several regions that are just really receiving multiple pulses of these extremely toxic pesticides. So that's obviously a going concern. They have one effort industry is taking to mitigate the impact of pesticides is using well boats, boats with large holds where the salmon and the sea lice that are on them are pumped in and they're treated with pesticides in that boat. But those, the pesticides in those boats are still released into the ocean. These plumes of pesticides can remain together for kilometers, up to 8 kilometers in some instances, and they can remain acutely toxic or lethal to lobster and other crustaceans for hours. So it's not like this stuff just goes away. That's certainly a fundamental concern we're having here, and we're seeing the use of these bath treatments because sea lice have become resistant to the in-feed treatment that's been being used for a decade or more. And an in-feed treatment is a pesticide that's incorporated into the salmon's feed, so that when the salmon ingests the pesticide, the sea lice feasting on them are killed.
So the sea lice have become resistant to the pesticide.
Yes. And so now we're seeing reliance on bath treatments, which is directly depositing pesticides into the ocean, either directly into the cage or into a well boat that's then released into the ocean.
Lots of people employed in the aquaculture industry here in the Bay of Fundy, in this Passamaquoddy Bay and the region, and how many people total?
I don't know. I mean, there's numbers that float around from different folks. I think some of the industry numbers I would question. I don't have the numbers offhand, but certainly I think it's safe to say they're the largest employer in Charlotte County.
So the community must be pretty pretty divided in terms of the values, the benefits, or the lack of benefits.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Everyone who's from here is related to people both involved in traditional fishery and in aquaculture, and I think it's come to the fore of late that there can really be tension between the two, you know, in terms of what's good for one isn't necessarily good for the other. It's a great case study in the social and economic complexities of environmental issues and sort of the need for really sort of the diligent community-based thoughtful work and in terms of engaging these issues, and that it's easy to sort of see them as much more aloof from afar. But when you live in Charlotte County, you know, you have friends involved with the industry. You may have people in your own life involved in the industry. And so it's just, you know, it does highlight, it really helps you sort of better grasp the complexity of the issue, and also really highlights the need to decision makers, the need that decision makers need to be held to account, because there's just a lot of the writing was on the wall for the problems we're seeing, and it was just sort of steadfastly ignored. So,
do you think that salmon aquaculture, as it's currently carried out or practiced here, is sustainable?
No, it's not. And I think, I mean, we already have companies saying that they're not going to stock sites in Passamaquoddy Bay until they get access to more pesticides, because parts of Passamaquoddy Bay have such a heavy, sort of consistent now sea lice problem. And that sea lice problem has been brought about by the practices of the industry, and their only sort of means by which to handle that is to get more access to pesticides. So an industry that can't put fish in the water till they get more chemicals, that's not sustainable to me. And so I think there's inherent issues with growing fish in nets in the ocean that can't be mitigated away. But if the industry was at a much smaller scale, maybe it wouldn't be having quite the impact, though I think we'd still be seeing issues with parasites and disease. But with the scale it's operating at now, I just don't think this scale is or can be sustainable. The way we can address these issues is by sort of really creative, interesting, collaborative work with a lot of individuals. And I'm very aware, too, that I don't know much. Who am I to be the baykeeper here? I just see myself as fortunate to be able to do this full-time as my day job. I can handle it a bit more and be not too overwhelmed by it, because I know that I'm not the only one on the lookout for sure. I know there's such a vast community of people who really care about this place, care about the Bay of Fundy, and definitely Passamaquoddy Bay and the Quaddy region here, where I do most of my patrol work.
This is home.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's steaming back to St. Andrews through Passamaquoddy Bay after a patrol is just nice. You know, it's coming home. But I also, I don't know, it's an environment that's sheltered. So it's often somewhere you can be out and about safely and comfortably, even when it's sort of windier out through the passages and out into the bay. And it's a calm space, and it really is stunning. It's beautiful. I mean, we're sitting, it's flat calm. We can see sort of McMaster's Island, Pendleton, Deer Island. We can see the main coast going up the St. Croix River, Navy Island, St. Andrews.
Let's go.
All right. I love this. The water almost looks pixelated. You see that? Like, I love that. Every so often we get this. I wasn't expecting it to be this calm today. It's even calmed down since we went out, and there's this, like, pixelated quality. For as far as you can see, it looks like we've blown up a digital image. Too big, but it's moving. It's great.
You've been listening to 12 Canadians, Building a Better World from the Inside Out. Learn more about the Fundy Baykeeper and its work, and subscribe to our podcasts at greenplanetmonitor.net. Huge thanks to the Social Justice Fund of the Canadian Auto Workers Union for their generous support. 12 Canadians is created by Earth Chronicle Productions, Winnipeg, Canada. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Bye for now. Thank you.
Here's what one of our friends is saying about why you should support Ravel.
My name is Carol Hughes, Member of Parliament for Algoma, Manitoulin, Campus Casing, and I support Ravel just because it's actually a great avenue for media, and it really tells it the way it should be told.
Join the club, donate to Ravel, ravel.ca/donate.